Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Do you want to know what Padres players are really thinking? We get you closer to the Padres than anyone else in town. It's time to go inside the clubhouse. God, I hope they're all wearing at least a towel. It's Friar Friday right here on 97.3 The Fan.
And, of course, it's Friar Friday, and joining us on the SDCCU fan hotline, Padres left-handed pitcher Eric Lauer. Great to have him with us. And, Eric, thanks for the time. Tell us a little bit about this season and it being your first full season in Major League Baseball. Any differences from last year, and there, or what differences maybe have you noticed about this year as opposed to last year when you're getting your feet wet?
Yeah, last year was definitely more of a year where I was just trying to get my feet wet, get accustomed to everything. This year it's more, I feel more comfortable, and I think comfort's a big thing for me. The team that we have this year is it's just so much fun, and it's so fun to come to the park every day and just be with the guys and just be around everybody. It's definitely a different vibe.
Everybody's been saying that this year.
Yeah, it seems to be a consistent
theme.
Yeah. This year, Eric, you had the opportunity to be the opening day starter this year. And now we've moved all the way. I mean, it's crazy that I'm saying this, but we're in July now. We're getting to the back end of the season. What are some of the things that you've been able to kind of get better at over the course of this year?
The biggest thing I've been working on is just my approach and just trying to stay consistent throughout games. I feel like that's the toughest part for me is approaching every inning like it's my first inning. You kind of get a little too comfortable sometimes within a game, and then things start to kind of like snowball on you a little bit.
When you say comfortable, what exactly do you mean by that?
Like if you cruise through the first inning or something, and then you're like, oh, I'm just gonna roll through these guys. you can't think that because you. They will stomp you into the ground. But that and just tinkering with some pitches, some different stuff, trying to make that changeup a weapon for me, use the slider as a weapon. It's an ongoing development process. But once you can find like your niche and what you're good at and stay consistent in that, I think that's when you really take off.
This is maybe sound like a little bit of a weird question. I did a little pitching at San Diego State, not obviously to your level, but so I left-hander. You throw a little harder than I did. but what I wanted to ask is, when you were at Kent State, you set all kinds of records for ERA and the lowest in college baseball in 30 years. And then, as you just alluded to a few moments ago, when you come out and pitch in the big leagues, I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. You're going to give up some runs.
Oh, yeah.
Well, my point is, how do you kind of get used to giving up runs and still moving forward? You know what I'm saying? When you've had a career where you really haven't given up very many runs.
It is not easy. It is not a fun thing.
Yeah.
Because you just feel like you just did not do your job at all. But, I mean, you start to understand it's part of the game. You're going against the best guys to do it, and it's you can't beat yourself up too much because of where you're at, and like you're not used to giving up runs. Oh well, if you're gonna give up runs, nobody's perfect,
right?
Like it's gonna happen,
especially at this level.
Yeah, at this level, you're gonna have good days, you're gonna have bad days, and if you miss pitches, they're gonna make you pay for it. So. Yeah, Kent was fun because I didn't give up any runs.
That's what I was going to say.
It was great, yeah. It was a great time, but it wasn't the same. It wasn't nearly the same challenge as it is going out there every day and just trying to just do your job.
Eric, you know, obviously we talked about you getting your feet wet last year, and you've got almost a full season under your belt. And I'm sure you going back to those Kent State times, because you weren't giving up any runs, you're able to stay out in the game longer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that's has been a point of contention for the fan base is you guys, you, Lucchesi, really most of the starting five has had to be under some kind of watch because you guys are young.
Yeah.
They're not trying to run you guys in the ground. How do you balance the competitive side in you versus trying to understand that they have my best interest at heart here?
I mean, as a staff in general, we talk about that a lot. And because you want to go deep into games. Like, you want to save the bullpen. That's the whole point of being a starter,
right?
Is to throw innings, to eat innings, to survive deep into games, go 7-8 innings, shutty. Like, it's your job. That's
right.
What our job description is. So, to be, like, restrained, I mean, you understand, obviously, they're trying to keep us healthy. A lot of us have never pitched this much before.
Right.
It's much higher pressure pitches. Like, everything's just intensified at this level. But it's still that competitiveness in you that wants to go. Like, I hate getting taken out.
Right.
It's the worst thing in the world.
I'm so glad you're saying this right now.
I'm not even going to ask about what the Dodger game last year when you went 8 2/3. I don't want to even go there.
That was the most fun I've had in the game in a long time. But
yeah,
like, I obviously, like, I that game specifically, like, I pitched my way into that.
I earned it.
Yeah, which is, I mean, it's just so tough to do at this level, and especially being in the NL. There's different moves that need to be made depending where we're at in the lineup,
yeah,
and what the game dictates. So, I mean, a lot of times it's not on us, it's not on anyone, it's just the game dictates that this is what happens, or because you're young, this is what happens, because we're trying to keep you healthy, we're
right,
trying to just make sure you're okay, that kind of thing. But once we all kind of fall into that rhythm and we know ourselves and we become that well-oiled machine that everybody talks about, like long-term veteran starting pitchers, they talk about them being well-oiled machines, and I feel like they're trying to just keep us to the point where we're still learning how to be that well-oiled machine and learning our bodies and how to survive a 162 game season, and hopefully more than 162 games.
Yeah.
That, I mean, you understand both sides of it, but as a competitor, you hate it. You hate having to be on limits and restrictions, all of it.
Right.
Tony can tell you, I once got it taken out of a game at San Diego State and flipped the ball to my manager as he crossed the third baseline. He grabbed me and dragged me back up onto the mound. So I learned that lesson very quickly. Yeah, but I know exactly what you're talking about is my point.
Sometimes emotions get the best of you. Saw, yeah, Trevor Bauer chuck out of the stadium.
Yes.
That was
I
epic.
Might have done that had I been able to do that. But that wasn't something I was capable
it's
of.
Emotions, man.
Sure.
That's the competitiveness we were talking about.
It's, yeah, just,
it's the, something about it. There's that fire that you want to stay in there. You don't want to be taken out. You don't want to put that on the bullpen, or you don't want to have your runs be left up to someone else.
Right.
Even though you trust them 100%.
Right.
It's still that competitiveness. Like, no, this is mine. This is my inning. This is my run. Like, this is my batter. All of that. It's,
right,
it's just the competitive side.
You get to work with Darren Balsillie, who is mostly widely recognized as one of the best pitching coaches in baseball.
No
I'm
doubt.
Sure you were aware of that when you got to this organization, got to this big league camp. From your perspective, where does he help you the most?
He helps me the most with, like, the, I want to say, like, the finer pieces of pitching. Because at this point, if your mechanics and everything, if you don't know your mechanics well enough, then
you're not going to be up here long.
It's not going to work. It's going to be a tough ride for you. For me, he's been, like, my slider grip. He shows me different grips he thinks will work, and change up grips, everything. He's got so many different options, and options are really what you need. I think that's what makes him so good, is he knows so much and has so many options, so many tools in his tool belt that he can give you to use, that you pretty much make your own decision on whether, like, you can try everything, and if something works, then boom, he fixed you, and if it doesn't, he'll give you another thing to try to find the next thing.
Yeah.
He knows what to do.
He's easily one of the best baseball minds I've ever had a chance to be around. I got to ask you, we got Players Weekend coming up. I read the list. You got Gomer on there. Can you explain that a little bit? Was that a nickname from back at home?
I got the nickname Gomer when I was like 8 or something ish. It was on a travel ball team. I played with the same guys every year. We had our own team. And I don't know why or where it came from, but they started calling me Gomer from the Andy Griffith Show. I guess it was because when I was a kid,
yeah.
I was kind of like goofy and silly, and I had big ears.
And they could have called you Opie, so I think you did better with Gomer.
Opie was another one, but it wasn't as popular.
Yeah. I think Gomer, but you came out ahead.
Gomer was a little goofy. Once I found out that Gomer could sing, though,
I was like, oh yeah.
I'll take that.
He was an excellent vocalist. Jim Nabors, I believe, was that the actor who played that role. Eric Lauer plays his own role very well for the San Diego Padres, joining us here on Friar Fridays. Eric, I just want to wish you the best and continued great success. Just love watching left-handers go to work, and it's been fun to watch you grow the last year and a half. And I know in certain situations this year you've pitched a little bit with a heavy heart, and I think a lot of people can identify with that. I think you've really demonstrated the best way to go about doing that, and you've really put a lot of smile on a lot of people's faces. So congratulations for that, and continued good luck.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Along with myself, Chris Zello, we're going to get back to some baseball talk. Our Big Five is coming up shortly, but last night, the opening night, the first full opening night of NFL preseason football, and you may have noticed the Arizona Cardinals defeated the team formerly known as the San Diego Chargers 17-13 last night to kick off the preseason. And joining us from azcardinals.com is Darren Urban. Darren, appreciate the time. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Well, we're all right. We're doing well. Playing out a baseball season. But I know everybody gets excited about this time for football in Arizona, especially with the new coach, the new quarterback. Has it been all positive reaction in Arizona, or has there been any kind of fallout at all from the fact that, you know what, they had Josh Rosen, they kind of gave up on Josh Rosen very quickly and made the move to Kyler Murray? Is there anybody still questioning that, or is everybody behind that in Arizona?
You know, I think before the draft, when it started becoming a reality that they could draft Kyler Murray, I think it was very, very much split. If not people saying, hey, you should stick with Josh Rosen and take one of those stud defensive players at the top of the draft. But as we've gone and as the offseason has kind of gone on and Josh Rosen got traded and people have been able to see through off-season work, Kyler Murray, all the way through last night, I think that's definitely changed. And I think the fan base is behind this move now. I got to be honest, I'm one of those people that was thinking maybe they should stick with Josh Rosen. And now that I've been able to see Murray up close and see his skill set, I can see absolutely what the team saw in him and why they thought he would be that much better than Rosen in the long run. And, you know, he showed a little bit of it last night.
Darren Urban joining us on the SDCCU fan hotline. What's his expectations for this year? Because Josh Rosen came in last year. He was up and down, and the fans weren't really sure about him. But what is Kyler Murray expected to do this year, realistically?
Well, I mean, I think you can't get too far over your skis in terms of, like, expecting him to be an MVP candidate or anything like that. But, I mean, if he has a couple more preseason outings like he did last night, that's only going to ratchet up what people think. I think for the Cardinals, I think for Kyler Murray, realistically, if he has a solid season, if he trends up as the season goes on, you know, maybe has more touchdowns than interceptions, looks like he's running the offense pretty well, and this team, which only won 3 games a year ago, you know, if they can win six or seven games, I think that's a pretty nice step forward, especially when they're still trying to figure out their offensive line, when they're trying to rebuild their wide receiver core. You know, I think that's all good. And anything above that, I think at this point would be gravy. Now, are they, you know, is Kyler Murray himself ruling that out? I mean, he's a very confident kid, and all he's ever done is win when he's played football. And, you know, to go 7-9 would be probably pretty hard on him. In fact, he said last night after the game was over, it was weird, even though it was a preseason game, he thought it's kind of weird going to talk to guys on the other team, and he was surprised, quite frankly, that there were Chargers that wanted to have these conversations even after a preseason game because it was a loss, because he goes, I'll be honest, when I lose, I don't know if I'm going to want to wander over and talk to somebody on the other team. And that's kind of his mindset right now, and it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
I like that old school,
yeah.
Kyler Murray. Absolutely. No fraternizing after a game.
Seriously.
Huh? Especially if you lose. We're talking with Darren Urban, azcardinals.com. Kyler Murray, of course, the number one overall pick, made his debut last night, and so did Cliff Kingsbury. Take us back a little bit to through this offseason and kind of recount how it was that Cliff Kingsbury ended up as the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, because, I mean, he was at USC, or did he ever get to USC as the offensive coordinator? But before he ever sat down in a chair, he was then the coach of the Cardinals. It was a lot of things happened very quickly there.
Yeah, he was at USC. It was a very brief amount of time, less than a month, but he was there. You know, I think the Cardinals had pretty much realized by the time they got to the end of last season that the Steve Wilks hire did not work out on a lot of different levels, even beyond just the record. And what was worse was, you know, in an era and a league where offense is king, that they just were really, really bad offensively, and it wasn't going to probably get much better with the coaching staff that they had in place. So once they started looking to go forward, whether it was going to be Kingsbury or somebody else, I think they were looking for offensive person all the way around. Now, when Kingsbury was a possibility, you know, I think it was one of those things where I think, yeah, and I know it's been brought up a lot, but you see what Sean McVay has done in L.A. and with the Rams, and, you know, the Cardinals weren't the only team that, you know, kind of got enamored with that offensive ability, and Kingsbury was a guy who had shown a lot of those kind of tendencies. Obviously, he didn't win a ton at Texas Tech, and he had just been fired from there, but it certainly wasn't for any lack of offense, and I think that was a big deal for them. So, you know, that's ultimately, I think, what pushed him in that direction. I know a lot of people wonder about Kingsbury in terms of having never coached in the NFL before, but they've done a pretty good job of putting guys around him on his coaching staff that have experience. Vance Joseph is the defensive coordinator, and he was obviously just the head coach in Denver. Mm-hmm. And they really leaned on the GM, Steve Keim, to help build that assistant coaching staff that has this NFL experience, and Cliff has been very receptive to all that. So I think at this point it's worked out well for them in terms of the transition. I think the players like him. You know, he's close to their age. He was drafted the year before Larry Fitzgerald was drafted. So, I mean, there's almost a peer thing there with some of these guys, and he's run it in such a way that I think the players appreciate how direct he is. His meetings are fairly short. He goes in, he tells them exactly what he's looking for the day, and then they go to their individual meetings. And I think at this point, as long as he gets results on the field, which we'll have to see, I think the players have definitely bought in.
Darren Urban from azcardinals.com joining us on the SDCCU fan hotline. I was actually going to ask you about how Cliff Kingsbury and the players are getting along, because he instituted a cell phone break, I believe. Has he done that, and how are the players responding to the different types of things that he's doing?
Yeah, there are a couple different types. The cell phone thing was a little bit funny, because while he talked about, when he first brought it up, it was at the owners' meetings, and he called it a cell phone break. But when you go to talk to all the players, you know, I talked to one right after that happened, and he goes, yeah, it's a bathroom break. It's every team has the same thing. He just has
so
to call
he labeled it differently.
Some guys get on their phones. Some guys are going to the bathroom. Some guys are going to grab something to drink. He goes, the players really never thought much of it. because it's not like they were longer. It was misinterpreted at one point. Cliff had said something about, you know, every 30 minutes or so he was going to give a break, and people thought that was going to be a 30-minute long break to get on their cell phone. So, you know, there have been some different things. You know, in training camp practices, he's actually instituted essentially a halftime. They call it halftime. There's a team nutritionist who actually brings out fruit for them to have during this 3-minute break, and they can grab a quick bite of fruit. And his whole idea isn't, oh, okay, we're going to have orange slices at halftime, but it's the idea that everything kind of stops, and then the players have to go back out, just like in a real game where you've got to take a break and then rev it back up quickly. He's trying to get that mindset in practice. And those are the kinds of things he's brought along. And, again, I think the players at this point are buying in. And as we all know, if you have success on the field, if you win some games and you do things that produce, these things are going to fly. And if you don't have those results happen, you know, somebody's at some point going to say, see, this is what happens when you give players cell phone breaks.
Yeah, right. Darren Urban is with us, azcardinals.com, talking about one of the most interesting football teams in the NFL this year. I think everybody's going to be keeping an eye on what happens with the Cardinals. I just want to ask before we let you go about Larry Fitzgerald and just what a treasure he is and has been to that entire area, Phoenix and beyond, and the state of Arizona. I mean, Larry Fitzgerald probably could run for governor and get quite a few votes. He just seems like he's been a tremendous guy his entire career. How's he dealing with kind of going through the latter stages of his career and trying to help some of these young kids along?
You know, I think he's embraced all of that. You're correct in all of your analysis of what he's been here. There was a couple of turning points in his career where he had the opportunity, if he really wanted to push it, to go somewhere else, and he chose to stick around. That means a lot to this community and to fans of this team. He is embracing, as his years have gone on, more of a leadership role, which in the beginning of his career he wasn't super fond of, which I think is important. And the reality is he still plays some pretty decent football. I think in this offense with Kyler Murray, and he's already got a nice chemistry going with Murray, I think he's got a chance to jump back up around the 100-catch mark this year, which will be very impressive for a guy who's about to turn 36 and is going into his 16th season. So I think he's enjoyed what time he has left in the NFL, but I also think that the production doesn't necessarily have to drop off quite yet.
Larry Fitzgerald, definitely one of the great players, I think, in the NFL of this generation. Just other than the one Super Bowl run, you know, we didn't get to hear enough about Larry Fitzgerald, and we should take some time to appreciate his greatness. Hey, Darren, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it very much. We'll catch up with you a little later in the season, see how things are working out with Coach Kingsbury and Kyler Murray. Thanks for all the info.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I appreciate you having me.
It's now time for the most unpredictable, most wacky, most opinionated segment of the show.
I wouldn't brag about it.
Gwen and Chris talk about the best of the rest.
Great balls of fire.
Ooh, with a twist.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
The Big Five begins right now.
Don't panic. Absolutely nothing to worry about.
On 97.3 The Fan.
And the Big Five is brought to you by EcoWater Water Systems. EcoWater Water Systems provide crystal clear, really, 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 really clean water for your home or business. Find them at EcoWater. That's ECOWaterSD.com. All right, Thomas.
Before we get to the Big Five, Thomas, we have made it through half this show without talking about what Scraby thinks is the biggest sports story of 2019.
You said we would save it for 5 o'clock.
No, I can't wait any longer.
Oh.
You think it's the biggest story in all of sports.
I didn't say that.
In this entire year, and we are now into August.
No, I did not
say
that.
And you have, oh yes, you have been walking around with this story all day long, like this is going to change the way sports are forevermore.
Do you know what happens when I tell this story? Is that people take note. They're like, wait, what happened?
Yeah, because it's so ridiculous that people are asking you to repeat yourself as if to say...
No, they want to know more about it.
No. All right, why don't you tell everybody what the biggest story you've seen this year is, just real briefly, and then we'll get into the big five.
The biggest story I've seen today is...
In 2019.
Antonio Brown, the Raiders wide receiver, has told the team, apparently, reportedly, he will not play this season, and he will retire, actually, if he doesn't get... He's not allowed to use his own helmet, his old helmet. They have... I didn't explain that very well. He has an old helmet that he wants to use that he used during the Steelers days. It doesn't meet up to, like, concussion protocol standards, so the NFL doesn't allow it. And
so the NFL wants him to get a new helmet, and he says, I'm taking my football and my
helmet,
blistered shoes and feet, and going home.
Yes.
And I'm never playing again unless you let me wear my helmet.
Yeah, he said he would retire unless they let him wear his helmet.
And you believe him.
He filed a grievance with the NFL today to allow him to wear that helmet. They said,
and if they don't allow the grievance, he's going to never play football again.
He's retiring.
And you believe him?
He's the one who said it, so I have to take him at his word.
You can't possibly believe him. There's no way Antonio Brown is not going to walk away from the National Football League.
I don't know. He's acting
over a
really,
helmet.
He's acting really strange the last couple years. I would not put it past him to do that.
Okay, that part I'll give you. He has acted a little bit wacky the last couple of years.
You know, someone but actually...
This, to me, is just a big-time threat from a big-time athlete trying to, you know, bully his way to get what he wants. And, you know, whether he does or not, I have no idea. But I would bet you dollars to donuts, Scraby, that Antonio Brown will be playing for the Oakland Raiders on opening weekend.
With his old helmet? Or his new helmet?
I don't know what helmet, but he'll be playing.
Do you think that he should be able to wear whatever helmet he wants?
No, I think at this point the league has to mandate a certain type of helmet because they have to give the illusion to the rest of us that they are concerned about the safety of these players.
Well,
see what I'm getting at here?
Yes.
The NFL has to make it seem to all of us like they really care about the health of these players when we know darn well the NFL could care less. You play your 5 or 6 years, we use you and abuse you, we beat you up physically, and we send you off into your post-NFL life. That's how it works in the National Football League. Don't make any mistake about it.
Last thing before we move on, Michael Silver, an NFL reporter, he actually had a bunch of tweets today. So if you want to go see him, it's at Mike Silver. But he said that at one point, Antonio Brown took his old Steelers helmet and tried to paint it like the Raiders helmet.
I think Antonio Brown should play week one of the season for the Raiders wearing his old Steelers helmet. I think that would be pretty comical.
Yes, it would be. It would be very comical.
That would be as comical as this whole situation is. But anyway, we wanted to pass it along to you so that you do not miss out on the biggest story of 2019.
Appreciate that.
You're welcome. All right, Thomas Odd, Big Five us.
Number five.
All right, guys. Tiger Woods won the Masters earlier this year, and things seem to be heading.
Hang on a second.
Hold on.
No. He gets a do over here.
Okay.
Here's the thing. Tiger Woods winning the Masters in 2019 is only the second biggest story this year after Antonio Brown threatening to retire. Go ahead, Thomas.
All right, and things seem to be heading back to normal, but the rest of the season proved it would be a struggle for Tiger, and today he has hit another setback. He had to withdraw from the Northern Trust this morning due to a mild oblique strain that caused him pain and stiffness. He is going to try and play in next week's BMW Championship, but we'll have to wait and see how he feels. Big deal, little deal, or no deal, Tiger Woods withdrew from this tournament. Chris?
Big deal. Well, it's a big deal just because he's Tiger Woods, number one. Number two, any injury with Tiger Woods right now is a big deal. It has to be considered that. I mean, the guy missed practically, what, a year and a half, 2 years because of his back? Look, you know I'm not a Tiger Woods fan any longer.
I do.
But the longer this goes on, and the more problems we see him having physically, and the more problems we just have watching him try to play well, His victory in the Masters may wind up going down as one of the most remarkable wins.
Yes.
Not just in golf history, but in sports history. And that's really saying something because Tiger Woods is considered one of the greatest players of all time. Mm-hmm. But the fact that he came back after what he went through, physically overcame all that, and just, I mean, he's not even a good player anymore, but he wins the Masters. I'm more amazed by that as time goes by.
I think it's a little deal because these tournaments, he is, right now he's inside the top 30, which is how the FedEx Cup playoffs works. There's three events. There's one next week, and then there's the Tour Championship in Atlanta the week after. And since he's already inside the top 30, he's already qualified for that tournament. So him withdrawing from this tournament doesn't really mean anything to me. He had a mild oblique strain. And if he's really, like, if he withdraws from the BMW, then yes, this is a big deal because then there's something more wrong with him and he needs to shut it down. But I think this is just him trying to save some time, trying to save some effort, and he wasn't going to win this tournament, and he's already into the next tournament, so why play it?
That is spoken like a true younger man, because when you're Tiger Woods' age, there are no such things as mild oblique strains.
He's a high-class, world-class athlete.
No, but he's a broken-down world-class athlete, and I'm telling you, I wouldn't be surprised if this oblique strain does keep him out of the FedEx Cup.
I mean, yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Good job, guys.
Number four.
Thanks, Thomas.
La Costa Canyon High School alum Kenny Steele stood his ground in the post-game locker room last night, explaining how shocked he was that Miami Dolphins owner Stephen Ross could host a fundraiser for President Donald Trump at his home and claimed that to fight for equality against racism through his Rise Foundation. And here's a clip talking of Kenny Steele's talking about his comments.
That's what I was saying in the tweet, is that it just didn't really make much sense to me for what the mission statement was for Rise and, you know, what they're setting out to do. It doesn't make sense for me to for him to be trying to, or to be supporting the man's campaign who is, seems to be against all the things that, you know, he's trying to work towards.
So, I will start with Scraby. This is Scraby. Do you think it is smart for Kenny Stills to question his owner's motives?
Well, Kenny Stills is my La Costa Canyon High School
bro,
because we both went there. I remember Kenny going through school. Old Kenny. Do I think it's smart for Kenny Stills to question? No, I don't. Who publicly comments about their boss like this without actually going to talk to him first? And I've read up a ton about this to make sure I had this right, and he did not go talk to his owner first. He just said this on his own. Head coach of the Dolphins, Brian Flores, also said, yeah, really wish you didn't say that because now he's kind of putting a target on his back. So I think he's going to get cut or anything like that? No, because it will cause more drama than, you know, than him just making these comments. But if I'm Stephen Ross, I'm a little ticked off that my wide receiver that I'm paying his salary is talking about me in the media like he is.
Chris?
Oh, I can't wait for this one. I cannot wait for this one. Look, Kenny Stills has the right, the American-given right of freedom of speech.
He sure does.
He sure does. And if he wants to criticize his owner, that's his business. And if he disagrees with who his owner backs politically because that person doesn't hold true to the same beliefs that Kenny Stills believes in, he has every right to say something.
He does.
And he did. And I commend him for it.
Wow.
Now.
Oh, here we go.
Well, the result of this, I have no idea what it's going to be.
He's going to get a principal's office visit.
Well, he also, they could end up moving him, trading him, releasing him. I don't know just how much this is going to bother Stephen Ross. But I commend Kenny Stills the same way I commend Colin Kaepernick for sticking for what he believes in, even in the face of doing something that might actually affect your own career. I mean, it's very possible that Kenny Stills could be cut by the Miami Dolphins for these kinds of comments because the owner just doesn't want him around and maybe nobody wants to pick him up and mess with him. But he's taking the risk, and I appreciate that.
I do, too.
A guy doing that.
I do, too. And let me be clear. I'm not, like, agreeing or disagreeing with his comments. We're just talking about him actually speaking about it.
Right. This is not a political talk show, so we're not discussing whether he's right, wrong, indifferent, or the other. What we are discussing, though, is his right to say something. And if he disagrees with his owner backing Donald Trump, I mean, not a lot of guys would have the guts to say anything, but he did.
No.
So
yeah,
I give Kenny Stills a lot of credit.
All right.
Number three.
During last night's 12-5 blowout loss to the Chicago Cubs, the Reds sent second baseman Kyle Farmer to the mounds to pitch some relief innings. Farmer finished with 1 1/3 innings pitched with one hit, but it's what Javi Baez did of the Cubs in the ninth inning is what everyone's talking about. So with the position player on the mound, Baez stepped up to bat, and guess what? He stepped up to bat left-handed.
Anything lefty except play baseball. Until now. Fly ball to center.
So that was Baez last night, flying out, batting lefty. And you know what? The swing wasn't that bad. But it has a lot of people guessing and, of course, complaining about the unwritten rules of baseball and think Javi Baez was out of line. Chris, do you think Javi Baez was out of line coming up to bat left-handed?
People ought to take a pill and relax. For heaven's sakes, it's still a baseball game. All right? Let's just keep this in mind. Let's keep it in proper perspective. It's a game. It's fun. These guys, from time to time, ought to be allowed to have a little bit of fun. I mean, what's the unwritten rule about bringing a second baseman into pitch? I mean, teams do this all the time without anybody having a problem. I don't think Javi Baez was doing anything beyond trying to have a good time and put a pretty good swing on that ball. Look, they had the game well in hand. I liked it. I like what Javi Baez did. I have no problem with guy. I don't think he's disrespecting the game by going up and batting left-handed. I'll go back to the All-Star game. Now, granted, the All-Star game is an exhibition. It's a different story. But one of the great moments in All-Star game history is when Randy Johnson was pitching and Larry Walker came up to bat but was scared to death to face him batting left-handed. So Larry Walker turned his helmet around, put the flap on backwards, and stood there right-handed.
Yeah.
It was one of the great moments in baseball. So, come on, let's have a little fun. Everybody lighten up a little bit. Didn't have any effect on the game. Javi Baez just enjoying himself. That's all it was. Let's not make too much of it.
Scraby?
Well, I'm not much of a rule stickler. I'm not going to say that he broke the unwritten rules of baseball or anything. But personally for him, I think that's not very smart because he does not swinging left-handed that often. What if he got an oblique strain and he had to go out and then the Cubs are fighting for a playoff spot? He's making $5.2 million this year and next year he's up for arbitration, so he could be making a ton of money. I just don't see what the point of this whole thing was other than to have fun. If for the fun factor, yes, it was cool to see. I like things like this, but I don't know. I don't think it's very.
You don't think you should have taken the risk?
I don't think you should have.
Well, I will say this. If Javi Baez loses out on the batting championship by one at bat,
he'll regret it.
Then he may regret it. But other than that, I think he's just having some fun. I have no problem with him having some fun. I wish more ball players would enjoy themselves out on the field.
All right, due to the interest of time, because you guys brought up the biggest sports story of the year, we're going to skip to number one.
Number two. Number one.
All right, the Cleveland Browns had the honor of being on Hard Knocks last season, and many fans fall in love with some of the players who have long shots of actually making the team, like last year's tight end Devin Cajuste, who loved his crystals. This year's guy you'd like to cheer for, his name is Damon Sheehy Giuseppe. He is an undrafted free agent, hasn't really had a touch in the minor. Oh, the I was going to say the majors,
but
it's a different sport. Yeah, the NFL. But it's his story that he's overcome. He was living in a 24-hour gym locker room up until training camp started. But during his offseason, he ran a 4.38 40 and was invited to Browns training camp. But during the time he was waiting for the training camp, he was living in the gym and spent his last of his money on the training facility. But last night during the Browns' blowout win of the Washington Redskins, this happened.
Taking it the distance for the touchdown is Sheehy Giuseppe a terrific special teams play. And now Freddie can smile because he has seen all of the units do their thing.
So he returned a punt 85 yards for the touchdown. With something like this, does he have a realistic shot at making the team? Scraby?
I don't think so, because there's been guys like this before that haven't made the team. Unless he keeps returning every single punt that he gets, he just makes himself so valuable that they can't cut him. But there was a guy in the 49ers, and I'm struggling for his name right now. I should probably Google it.
Don't look at me. I don't know any of your 49ers.
He was a rugby player, and they had him in
there. He was on the Buffalo Bills, the rugby player, last night.
There was a couple rugby players.
There was a Buffalo Bill rugby player last night who ran 65 yards for a touchdown.
Jared Hayne is the guy's name.
Okay, well, there was a Buffalo Bill guy who did it last night and ran for a touchdown.
Well, Jared Hayne was on the roster to start the season, but he just couldn't figure out the NFL. I don't think he's going to be able to make the roster on this team at this time, but you never know. If he keeps returning kicks, they're not going to let him go.
Yeah, the odds are against you when you're coming in the situation that this young man is. But if you're ever going to make it, that's the way to do it. Return a couple of punts for touchdowns. You'll certainly get everybody's attention. And it is a fun story. And every now and again, one of these NFL stories do kind of pop free like this. So I'll be rooting for him, but I think the odds are against it.
All right.
The Big Five is brought to you by EcoWater, EcoWater Water Systems. We're great-tasting, crystal-clear, odor-free, virtually contaminant-free water for drinking, bathing, and cooking. EcoWater Water System. That's really, 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 really clean water. Find them at EcoWater. That's ecowatersd.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Meet our producer, Thomas.
Hi. Hello. Hi.
Thomas loves baseball. Thomas loves baseball stats.
I love this guy over here.
And Thomas is odd.
I thought he was a bit weird when he arrived.
That means it's time for Odd Baseball Stats with Odd Thomas.
We'll see about that, Posh Spice.
Let's get started, I guess, on 97.3 The Fan.
Oh, I can't wait personally to hear some statistics about Bo Bichette.
Thomas, you're so lucky.
Oh, Odd Thomas.
Because last week we had Old Hose.
Old Hose Radburn. Today he was lucky that I brought up Bo Bichette earlier, because he was going to... Odd Thomas thought it was Bo Bichette.
You know, I've been thinking about this Old Hose name for like almost a week now.
Old Hose Radburn?
Yeah. It would have made a great name.
It would have made more sense because, like I said, he threw like 400 innings in 1 year.
What?
Yeah. And they you know, an arm, they call it a hose. Yeah, the guy's got a great hose. So old Haas really could have been Old Hose.
Thomas will never live that down.
Never.
It's all good. All good.
He's ready to go with another round of Odd Baseball Facts. Thomas.
Oh, my gosh. In 1884, Old Hose threw 678 innings.
678?
I
said
ridiculous.
406.
Well, he did. He had 4,527 innings pitched in his career.
Yeah. Old Haas had a hose.
He really did.
There's no question, Tom.
He had, in 1884, he had 60 wins. 6-0.
60?
Yes.
Ladies
he
and
won
gentlemen,
60.
I'm about to travel through time. I bid you adieu.
We are going way back through time.
Oh, man.
All right, bring us back to reality, Odd Thomas, with some Odd Thomas baseball facts.
All right. We all here in San Diego know how exciting Fernando Tatis Jr. has been this season, but he might soon be getting more national exposure because last night was his third consecutive game. He had a leadoff home run, giving him 22 on the season, which is an MLB record by a rookie shortstop before their 21st birthday.
Wow.
Yep.
And go ahead, Chris.
I'm sorry. The only other guy that's ever had 20 before their 21st birthday was A-Rod.
Yes.
Shortstop. So, I mean, definitely Fernando's in some excellent company there.
And if he hits a home run tonight, he'll be the first ever rookie to hit 4 consecutive home runs in a game.
Or four games consecutively
with the home run.
Yeah. That's we knew what amazing. You meant, but since you're odd, we're not surprised that you kind of mixed it up there.
All right.
Yeah, no, he's got a home run in 3 straight. No rookie's ever hit a home run in 4 straight games.
No.
It's going to happen.
It is going to happen. It's probably going to lead off the game with a home run.
Probably.
He's facing Kyle Freeland of the Rockies tonight, who has given up, I believe, 107 home runs already this season. I'm not kidding. I mean, he has been shelled all season long.
By the way, our over-under that I set yesterday for the series was 42. Well, they've already...
Oh, they what, they get 15 last night?
Or no, was it 9-3?
Oh, 9-3. 12, so 12 last night. Yeah, so we're right on pace.
Kyle Freeland has given up 22 home runs. He's got an ERA.
Yeah, but how many innings has he pitched? He's only pitched about 70 innings.
82.
Yeah, so he's given up one home run every four innings this year. He's been probably one of the worst pitchers in baseball, coming off of the fact that he was fourth in the Cy Young balloting last year. So I like Fernando Tatis Jr.'s chances to become the first rookie ever to homer in four consecutive games. All right, Odd Thomas.
All right.
What else?
Adam Ottavino signed a free agent deal with the New York Yankees last offseason, and so far he's been money well spent for the Bronx Bombers. And this season he's 5-3 with a 1.41 ERA and 70 strikeouts. But it's what he's done against the AL East that's impressive. The Brooklyn native Ottavino hasn't given up a run to an AL East opponent in 2019. That's 24 innings pitched over 28 appearances.
Well, most of that's probably against Baltimore and Toronto.
Yeah,
so, no, that's good. I mean, obviously, that's when you want the guy to come through. Ottavino is the guy that said before the season that
he'd strike out Babe Ruth.
He has such good stuff. And I you know, he pitched for the Rockies the last couple of years, and he's always had trouble kind of commanding that stuff. He does have a very nice curveball that breaks by about 10 feet.
Really strange comment to make, though.
But it was a strange comment to I was a little surprised.
What's the point?
I'm surprised that he's been, you know, as well received in New York by after making that comment. But if you don't give up a run to anybody in your division, you probably will be better received.
Okay, here we go. The Toronto Blue Jays have a shortstop that has impressed in his very short time in the show. His 11 games played since being called up July 29th, Bo has an 11-game hitting streak.
Wait, who?
Bo who?
Bo Bichetti.
He actually did something I didn't think could be done, was find a third way to pronounce that name.
Yes. We told him it wasn't Bo Bichetti, so he went with Bo Bichetti.
It's Bo Bichette.
Bichette.
So Bichetti.
Bichetti. Oh, Odd Thomas, you are so odd at this.
That is
awesome.
That was awesome.
All right, so tell us about Bo Bichetti. I'm going to have trouble ever calling him anything but that now.
I know. It's Italian-American night here at Italian Heritage night here at the Petco, so Bo Bichetti.
Perfect timing.
All right, he's got an 11-game hitting streak with 12 extra base hits, the most in any by any player in their first 11 games. He's got a 9-game extra base hitting streak, which is tied by a rookie record set by Ted Williams in 1939, and he's got an 8-game hitting streak of hitting at least one double, and this is only in 51 plate appearances. But the odd fact about this is that Bo's dad, Dante Bichette, in his 51 first plate appearances, he only had 12 base hits.
Dante Bichette started his career with the then either Anaheim or California Angels, and then moved to Milwaukee for a year or two. And then when the Rockies came into being, he got traded to Colorado, and he took advantage of the mile high air. He was an excellent power hitter. But Bo Bichette, I think it's very interesting. As you mentioned, Thomas, anytime your statistic is mentioned in the same sentence as a tying Ted Williams in 1939, then you're doing something pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And I don't believe anybody's ever had a double in 9 consecutive games before.
No.
Anybody.
It'll be a record if he hits another double.
If he gets a double tonight?
Yeah.
Are the Blue Jays trying to field their own father-son league?
Yes, they're trying to beat the father-son team we put together
Vlad
earlier.
They have Jr. They have Bo Bichetti. And then they have...
Bo Bichetti.
They have the Biggio guy.
Yeah.
Cavan Biggio.
Cavan, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Toronto's going that route right now. There are a lot of young players there. But Bo Bichette, I don't think too many people are aware of what he's doing, but what he's doing is pretty damn special.
It's very intriguing. There's a lot of interesting numbers going around, being thrown around, too, with his name.
Yeah.
All right. It's safe to say the Baltimore Orioles do not want to see the New York Yankees anymore this season. So
oh
far,
goodness.
The Yankees
I can't wait for this.
Have hit 52 home runs against the Birds.
52?
52.
That is a lot of home runs.
The most home runs for a team against any team that is hit against an opponent in a season. With the sweep of the Birds, it gives the Yankees a 14-game winning streak at Camden Yards as well. And the Yankees also tied the 1977 Red Sox in hitting 5-plus home runs in 3 straight games.
No one had ever done that since the 77 Red Sox. Wow.
And to put some things in perspective about the Yankees, 14 different players for the Braves, Padres, and Rockies have all hit a home run this year. 15 different Yankees have hit a home run at Camden Yards this season.
Wow.
Things are bad for the Orioles.
You know, it's something I'm a little concerned about with the Yankees, because a lot of people are talking about how the Yankees are going to run away and win the American League and, you know, go back to the World Series. And, they have the best record in the American League, et cetera. But don't forget, they're not going to get to play the Baltimore Orioles in the playoffs. I mean, they have obliterated Baltimore, obviously, this year by the stats Thomas just gave us.
Hold on, it gets better. So, 17 different Reds pitchers have given up a home run this season. 17 different Baltimore Orioles have given up home runs to the Yankees at Camden Yards this season.
Yeah. No, the Orioles are incredibly bad. They've given up 5 or more home runs in a game, I believe, 17 times this season.
Oh, my goodness.
And the all-time record prior to that was 9.
All right, here's
so
one more for you.
Shattered it.
Yeah, Yankees against the Orioles in 2019. They're slashing .301 with 52 home runs and 71 walks and 617 plate appearances. Ken Griffey Jr.'s MVP season, he hit .304 with 56 home runs with 76 walks. And Willie Mays' MVP season in 65, he hit .317 with 52 home runs and 76 walks.
So the Yankees have had an MVP season against the Baltimore Orioles.
Pretty much.
That's for sure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.